Okay, so we're going to talk about this same gift of peace this Christmas and how he wants to give us that. If you would please turn with me to Luke chapter 2. We're going to look at this gift of peace that came to earth about 2,000 years ago. And all of us in here, we want peace in our life, right? We want peace in our world. You know that there's a war going on in our world somewhere every single day. We want peace on earth. Everyone talks about peace on earth, but we don't see that in our world. We see a lot of conflict going on. But we also want to have peace in our own lives, in our own personal lives as well. We strive for peace. A lot of the things we do try to guarantee peace in our life. But will we ever get there, knowing that we are the most stressed out civilization in the world? It all really all comes down to the fact that we don't really understand what true peace is. And most people fall into two different camps whenever they talk about peace. The first group of people is that they talk about the external peace that they receive. So they do something to get peace. They go somewhere to get peace, right? And so I send my kids to the grandparents so I can have peace, right? I don't think we're the only ones that do that. But I go to the woods so I can have peace. Or I go to the beach. I go every year. We go to the beach so I can have peace, finally. And there's nothing wrong with that. We all like to do those things. We like to get away and stuff. But it's very temporary, isn't it? Because we got to go back to the chaos in our life. And so it doesn't last forever. And then there's that group that believes that peace is internal. It's something that happens within. And so you have those people that they read books. They listen to music. They meditate. They internally get calm. And that's their idea of peace. Getting that internal calmness within them. And so we have these external ideas of peace and we have these internal ideas. But biblically speaking, whenever you talk about this word peace, it's never translated as an internal emotion and it's never something generated from the outside in. Instead, peace is always connected and translated as a person. The person, of course, of Jesus Christ. And so I want us to get a better grasp and understanding of this word of peace in our life. The ancient Jews had a much better word to describe this word. You might guess what it is. Shalom, right? They use this word all the time, shalom. And whenever you greet them, shalom. Whenever they leave your house, shalom. And you have shalom. And it's interesting that there's not one English word that translates from shalom to English. Because it's hard for us to grasp the idea of shalom. It's a greeting that means wholeness, or it means that someone has a right frame of mind and spirit. That it's so much more than our idea of just peace that we have. You have a lot of chaos in your life right now. You're running from one place to the other. I mean, this season can be very, very chaotic if we let it. With constant relational conflicts. I was talking to several people after the Thanksgiving holidays and just the family strife they have to deal with whenever their family gets together. And, you know, we even have some of that in our own family as well, that you have to, you know, walk on eggshells with these type relationships. And that's just how it is this time of year. We have these relational conflicts, never seems to find contentment. And it's not a mind problem that we have. We need to get our minds right. It's a spirit problem that we have. And like joy, peace has nothing to do with the circumstances around us. This means that we should be able to sustain peace in our life no matter what circumstances, no matter what trials are going on all around us. Because peace is a person. It's a relationship with a person. It's almost comical how we try to produce peace in our world. You know, we send ambassadors to countries all over the world so we can get peace with them, right? We try to put solutions in place to solve our nation's problems, that we will one day have peace, finally have peace. And you go to city council meetings, social club meetings, school board meetings, and they're all trying to work towards this idea of peace and wholeness and everyone just coming together as one and unity and trying to lower crime rates and demonstrations, but none of it's working. I mean, you turn on the news and it seems even more chaotic than the day before. None of the things, even as much technology as we have, as much information that we have, it just doesn't seem to be working. As hard as we try, but we have to understand that peace is only found in the person of Jesus Christ. That's it. And so that's why I think we need to see more people actually get into politics and the political process and stuff. Not so they can go join the secular solutions out there to solve all the world's problems. No, so they can bring the solution to those problems. And that's the name of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the solution to your chaos. That's it. We can go home. What? No. But Jesus Christ is the solution to your chaos in your life. He is the answer. And the closer you are to Jesus, the more peace you will have. John 14:27, he tells us this. He says, "My peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives." He makes a distinguishment there between him and the world. I'm not going to give you as the world gives. That's not the type of peace that I want you to have. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. I give you true peace. So this is what the angels came proclaiming to the shepherds that day in Luke chapter 2. So I want us to look at that chapter. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Christ. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find the baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger.' Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men to whom his favor rests.' And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go to Bethlehem to see this thing that had happened, which the Lord has told us about.'" So those shepherds that night, they were able to experience something that they probably had never experienced before, and that was true peace. Maybe for the first time. See, you have to understand their situation. God had been silent for hundreds of years. No prophets, no revelation from God, just silence. And on top of that, the Jews were greatly oppressed at this point by the Romans. King Herod was the great builder, and he used a lot of the Jews as slaves at this point. And on top of that, the taxes were overwhelming. The life expectancy was extremely low. And they were trying to grab on to any hope that they could in their life. And there was talk of this promised Messiah that was going to come and free them from their oppression and set up his kingdom in Jerusalem there. So they had that to hold on to in their life. And like King Herod, some people, they liked this idea of this Messiah, but some people didn't. You remember the story. King Herod becomes so paranoid about the super baby that was coming to be king, and so he ended up killing every baby in Bethlehem that was 2 years and under. They did not know peace until God broke through heaven and announced that his peace had come to earth. So like I said earlier, peace is a person, or it's an overflow of our relationship with him. It's a fruit of the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. But there are ways that we can hinder peace in our life. And sometimes we do this unconsciously, but I want us to look at some of these barriers to peace, some of these things that grab us and they keep peace out of our lives and they hurt that relationship that we have with Jesus. So here are four barriers to experiencing peace, true peace in your life. Barrier number one is the lack of self-worth. And the solution from this passage, if you want to have peace come back into your life, then you need to realize that you are very special to God. You are valuable to him. See, the shepherds, they were the most unlikely group to bring this message, this salvation message, to. If you're running a PR campaign of how you're going to save the world, the shepherds would not have been on that list of people of influence that you would have sent that message to. You've gone to the high priest, right? So he could let all of Israel know, hey, the Savior is coming. He is born. Maybe you go to Caesar Augustus so the whole world would know that the Savior of the world is coming to this earth. whatever you could do, you'd get the word out, but not the shepherds. They were, you're a lowlife, you're an outcast, you're a shepherd. And they weren't even allowed to testify in court. But God sent this message to them. He says, you are special to me. So we have to remember, and I've talked about this through my last several sermons probably. I know I've mentioned it several times. But God always opposes the proud, and he builds up, he gives grace to the humble. Always. That's how he works. That's how his kingdom works. He opposes the proud, he gives grace to the humble. When Jesus comes back, he's going to come back as the great equalizer, where the humble will be lifted up and the proud will be lowered down. That's what he is. He's the great equalizer. And so God chooses the castaways, the throwaways, the lowlifes, those people that God likes to choose. Why? Because whenever you lift up someone in that humble circumstance and you do something in their life, who gets the glory in that moment? God. He's the one that gets the glory in that moment. That's the only explanation that you could have. Man, that's a work of God in their life right there. There's no way that they could have done that on their own. God chose the shepherds, those people that could not even testify in court, to proclaim the most important information in the history of mankind at that time. That's why they had the first shot to witness the greatest miracle ever performed. So it may seem like that you're the most insignificant person on this earth. You just think you're a little speck of dirt. No one notices me. You're lonely. You know, I think we'd be surprised of how many lonely people are in our world, in Marshall, Texas, and maybe even in our church. I just do the same thing every day. No one notices me. This is who I am. Insignificant. I think we would be surprised. But the shepherds felt the exact same way. And the angel said, I bring you good news of great joy that's going to be for all the people. I chose you first. So one of the great names of God in the Old Testament is El Roy. I love that name, El Roy. And it means the God who sees me. The God who watches out for me. El Roy. I love that. I love that picture. Because that's who God is in our life. That he sees me. He recognizes me. He knows me. Right where I'm at in my life, God sees me. And he is with me. And we can't imagine the love that he has for those that he sees. In 1 John, he says, how great is the love that the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And so you realize how special you are in God's eyes and how much he really does love you and wants to reveal himself to you. That can bring peace. Corrie ten Boom, great Christian author, once said, when I look at the world, I get distressed. When I look at myself, I get depressed. But when I look at Jesus, I find rest. And that's what it's all about right there. Jesus Christ is the person of peace in our life. The second barrier that we find is that of fear. Fear is very much a barrier to peace in our life. And the solution right here is fear not. Verse 9, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, because I bring you good news of great joy. That people are afraid of all kinds of things, and that right there steals our joy. So I found a list of different fears that people have, and there's all kinds. There's a huge list of all kinds of fears. There might be a fear for every person out there. That's how many there are. But here's a few right here. Okay, so chaetophobia, the fear of hairy people. Motor phobia, the fear of automobiles. Ablutophobia, the fear of washing or bathing. Yikes. Odontophobia, the fear of teeth. Get this one. Phobophobia, the fear of fears. I don't know how you work that out, but okay. Homilophobia, the fear of sermons. So hopefully you don't have that today. Okay. It's not too scary. But seriously, fear paralyzes us. And what fear does is it sucks the life right out of you. And sucks that joy right out of your life. And it kills peace in you. You see, the angel did not want them to miss out on the greatest message that had ever come to this earth because they were gripped with fear. You know, I have to admit, I would have probably been afraid too if I would have seen that huge angels and lights all around me. Something that's bigger than us, we fear it because we feel like I cannot control that, what's going on right there in my life. It's too big for me. And so all of a sudden, fear starts to grip our hearts because of that. And all of us have experienced that. And that's why Jesus told the disciples over 20 times throughout the Gospels, he said, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Over and over, they heard the same message from Jesus. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. He didn't want them to miss out on the true peace that he could bring to their lives. Because fear is the death of peace. So the promise is not that the shepherds, that their life would be easier. In fact, it was probably going to get harder for them in their life. In John 16:33, it says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you're going to have troubles. You're going to have tribulations. All these bad things are going to happen. But don't worry. I have overcome the world. Therefore, you can still have peace in the midst of chaos. You can still have peace in the midst of all those difficult times in your life. Because I am here. The Prince of Peace has come to this earth. And so you can experience peace. There will be pain. There will be disappointments. There will be sickness. People won't like you. And I'm not going to take away the pain yet. But in spite of that, you can still experience my peace in this world because I am peace. You see, one thing we have to understand, if we can get this, if we can just hold on to this, it'll change everything for us. But before there was ever a problem in your life, there was already a solution, and his name was Jesus. You get that? Before there was ever a problem, before there was ever a disease, before there was ever a rebellious son, before there was ever a loss of a job or a loss of a loved one, before any of those circumstances happened in your life, there was already a solution in place. And his name is Jesus Christ. He is the center of everything. He is the answer to our chaos and the solution to our chaos. There was already a solution. And Paul reminds us, do not be anxious about anything. Do not be fearful. But in everything, by prayer and petition, present your request to God. And what will happen? The peace of God will transcend you. The peace which surpasses all understanding will guide you and will guard your hearts and minds. So do not be afraid. And barrier number three, don't be afraid, but also don't live in bondage and security. And the solution is discover the Prince of Peace. See, the shepherds discovered something else that night. That their need for a Savior was finally met. It's finally here. See, they couldn't even go to the temple and make a sacrifice for themselves. They were considered unclean. So they just had to live their life out just with the guilt of knowing there's nothing I can do about my sin in my life. I couldn't make a sacrifice for it. I just have to live under this guilt in my life until the Savior came to them. He said, I bring you hope, I bring you salvation, I bring you freedom from all that you've been under your entire life. This is the one that would be finally the Lamb of God, one sacrifice for all, for those who believe in him. The people waited and waited for the promised one, and he was finally here. Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, pursued us. Aren't you so glad that Jesus pursued you in that way? When we deserve chaos, he brought peace. It reminds me of the story of Hosea. It's a really sad story if you read it. It's got this prophet, Hosea. And, the prophet of Israel, he's a really high up guy. And people really respect him and look up to him. But God tells this prophet, Hosea, to marry a prostitute, okay? This lady that was unclean, she was scandalous, adulterous in every possible way, and I want you to marry her. He had a problem with that. But he pursued her and he married her. She was unfaithful to him. He pursued her, married her. Unfaithful to him, pursued her. And the whole point of that whole story, the whole concept that God's trying to get across to them and to that nation right there is that I am the pursuer of you and you are the prostitute. You are the one, I pursue you. You are unfaithful to me. I pursue you. You're unfaithful to me. This is how much I love you. I pursue you and you're unfaithful to me. Even when you don't deserve it, I am pursuing you in your life. I want you to have that relationship with you. I desperately want that relationship with you and I want you to experience that peace of my life. I pursue you. Always. See, that's the peace that he wants to give us right there. That's that relationship. Aren't you glad that the Prince of Peace pursued you, even when we don't deserve it? So back to the shepherds. They had experienced peace because they discovered that they were special in God's eyes. They discovered that they could have freedom from their sins and finally lift off that guilt that they had been living under their whole lives. And they also saw purpose in their life and they found peace from that announcement that day. But there was another barrier that they had to face. And that is ignoring God's direction in your life. That is a barrier to peace in your life. Respond to His word with faith. So the shepherds hear the word, this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger there. And they heard the heavenly choir sing, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among men whom His favor rests. And then they were gone. The angels were gone. You know what they could have done? They could have said, wow, what was that? Did you see something? Maybe we're out there with these sheep too long. We're just seeing things, right? They just kind of completely discount what they had saw. No, they didn't do that, did they? In verse 15, it says, let us go straight to Bethlehem to see this thing that had happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So what did they do? They hurried off. Immediately, they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. They acted upon the message that they had received and God had given them. And they knew that all things are possible with God. And so, therefore, I need this to be real in my life. So I'm going to go search out and obey the message that God has just given me. They put feet to their faith and they responded to His word in obedience. Like I talked about last week, faith is simply doing what God wants us to do and just trusting Him with all the details. We do that. That's what obedience is. Faith, just obeying what He calls us to do. And is trusting Him with all the details in our life. If the Lord tells me to give, I'll give. If the Lord tells me to forgive someone, I'll forgive them. If the Lord tells me to tell others about Jesus, then I'll do it, period. Do you trust God enough to do what He says to do? No questions asked. I'll follow Him, just like those shepherds. You see, in Isaiah 26:3, it says, you keep Him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because He trusts you. That trust is a big factor in our peace in our life. He longs for us to trust in Him, to know that this world cannot rob us of that peace because we are following God's will in our life. And He promises to do that. See, the shepherds that night, they did what God told them to do, even though it seemed crazy. They followed what He said, and because of that, they experienced peace like they never have before. And it came in the person of Jesus Christ. So I hope you understand that that whoever stands behind this pulpit right here, me, whoever, that I'm not, we're not perfect in any stretch of the imagination. We're not perfect. That we never struggle with anything. And I was talking to one person about the new senior pastor position and who it was going to be and stuff, and they said, well, just kind of jokingly, they said, well, I think it should be a mix between Billy Graham, Brother Carlton, and Jesus. And I thought, oh my goodness, those are some big shoes to fill right there, right? But the fact is that we are not perfect and we have struggles, and to be honest with you, I struggle with some of these points in this sermon in my own life. About 5 months ago, I was sitting at my computer on a Friday morning, like I do. I work at my computer there at home, and all of a sudden I couldn't breathe. It just hit me all of a sudden. I had to force myself to breathe, and so, you know, it was crazy, and the kids were there, and they were all around me wondering what's going on, and I can't breathe. And finally I just found myself, and I was just laid back on my back on the ground, just looking up at the sky, and it felt like a big elephant was just sitting on my chest, and I couldn't move. I was just paralyzed pretty much, and I just couldn't breathe. And, scary situation. The ambulance has come. They take me to the emergency room, and there I am, spend the afternoon in the emergency room. They're running around doing all these kind of tests. They call them PE tests, okay? The CAT scans and all these blood work and all these things. And so I'm there all afternoon. I'm still just trying to get my breath. And finally, the doctor just comes in, and he says, "Jeremy, we cannot find anything wrong with you other than the fact that you just had an anxiety attack." I was like, what? I had no idea that could possibly happen to someone in that way, that I had let something overwhelm me so much that just got too much to me. And it attacked. My body didn't like it too much there. That I struggle with this too. And it took, after that, I was like, man, this is no way to live life in this. This is no way to live life. And so I had to make some changes in my life, and I learned a few things there. And the first thing I learned is that, yes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but I also understand the flip side of that is I can do nothing without Him. I can do nothing without Him. And I can control nothing in my life, and I am not on the throne. He is on the throne. And whether I like that or not, that is the case in my life. But I also learned that the importance of releasing these things, and I cannot continue to carry on the burdens of the world in my life. I have to continually release those things in my life, or I'm going to find myself on my back again, just looking up at the sky. You know, I don't think I'm the only person that deals with this. I really don't think so. I think there's probably several people, and maybe you find yourself and you've been kind of on your back. You know, sometimes that's kind of what it takes for us. Because whenever you're on your back, what are you doing? You're looking up, right? That's the only place you have to do is look up. And you see Jesus right there, the Prince of Peace. He says, "I want to be your peace. I want to be your everything. Cast your cares upon me because I care for you." Can I be that peace in your life? I'm giving you this gift. I just want you to open it in your life. So what in the world is stealing your peace this Christmas? Family, strife, finances, guilt, bitterness, sins, lack of self-worth, whatever it is. Are you really going to let Satan have the victory over there? Because that's what he's trying to do in your life. He's trying to get the victory. That's why he wants chaos to happen in your life. See, I think there's people in here like me. It kind of feels like you're in a lake. And it's hard to swim. It's hard to keep yourself up. And you just got water up to here. And you're just kind of trying to get a breath. Every second, you're trying to get a breath if you can. Just trying to stay above water. And that's a horrible feeling in your life if you're like that. And Jesus says, "I can lift you up out of that. I can bring you out of that. And I can show you how to live a life true of peace. Just release it to me." And sometimes I have to do that daily. Sometimes I have to do that hourly. Dear God, I release this to you. I can't do it, but you can. I release this over to you. You are on the throne. I'm not. I release this over to you. And maybe that's where you're at today. And you feel like you're just completely being overwhelmed by all these things around you. Just know that the Prince of Peace has come. And he is here. And peace is a person. And his name is Jesus Christ. And he can be that for you as well. That's the miracle of Christmas. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you for this message of peace. Dear God, I thank you for the promise of peace that we can have in our life. And I pray for each individual person in here, dear God, that if they're being overwhelmed by life and all that it has to offer, dear God, I pray that they would see all that you have to offer and what you can bring them and the freedom that they can have through your peace. And I pray that if there's anyone in here that has never accepted you as their Lord and Savior, they don't have any idea what peace is about. And I pray that they would make that right today. and they would understand the relationship that they can have with you. So yes, Lord, peace is such an elusive thing, dear God, but the peace that you give lasts forever. And I pray that we would just tap into that and open up that gift that you give us today. Be with us right now. In Jesus' name I pray.